I'd like for you to take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Boy, the music's been good. I've enjoyed it.
Amen.
And I love the songs about our Lord, you know, especially this time of year.
Amen.
Where we emphasize the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross
Praise
of Calvary.
Amen.
Luke, chapter 2. On Sunday mornings, I've been going through the Gospel of Luke. And we've come to this 8th verse of chapter 2, so if you're able to stand, let's stand together as I read a familiar passage. I think we heard it quoted at least once through the Christmas season, but this is where we are.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2, notice verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy,
Amen.
Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which
Amen.
Is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest,
Amen.
And on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen.
It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Amen.
They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Amen.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God
Praise
for
Lord.
All the things that they had heard and
Hallelujah.
Seen as it was told unto them.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank
Amen.
You for the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
That we know what Jesus said about it, that thy word is truth.
Praise
Help us to respond to it in such a way
yes.
that shows we believe its truth.
Help us.
Lord, please bless the message. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit as I preach your word, as I preach this message that I believe you've led me to preach. We do ask if someone's here that's lost that they get saved this
yes.
morning, and for the believer that you'd challenge us through this story in the Bible.
Help us.
We ask your blessing and help. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The morning of July, one morning, July 2011, Wade LeBlanc got into a taxi cab outside the Petco Park baseball stadium in San Diego, California, and he was heading to the airport. Wade LeBlanc was a struggling pitcher that played for the San Diego Padres, and he had just been sent down to the minor leagues again after another disastrous performance the night before. 8 times in the previous 3 years, LeBlanc had scrapped his way up to the big leagues only to blow his chance and be sent back down to the minor leagues, and here it happened once again. When LeBlanc got into the taxi cab that morning, the driver looked at him and said, You're Wade LeBlanc. And LeBlanc responded, Right. The driver said, You've got some good stuff. Now, LeBlanc remained silent, speechless, because of his terrible performance the night before. And after a brief silence, the taxi driver said this. He said, You know, I think there's some things you should think about trying, some things that can make a difference. He said, I don't know, I'm not a player, but maybe something like going over your head and your windup would help. Well, LeBlanc was thinking as the man was speaking, Really? You're going to give me advice Now, normally, LeBlanc would have laughed or even gotten angry at someone that would just say that sort of thing, but not this time. This time he listened, because he knew that his career was on the line. The next day he arrived in Tucson, and LeBlanc met with his pitching coach. And he said to his pitching coach, "You know, I'm thinking about trying to change my windup. What do you think?" And the pitching coach said, "Well, go ahead, let's go ahead and try it." And he did that very thing, and he incorporated that move, perfected it, and got that move incorporated in his next start. And when he pitched the next time he did, he was brilliant. It was amazing how he pitched. He only allowed one hit in 7 innings, and he later said in retrospect that that was a turning point in his career when he changed that. Now, LeBlanc went on to play for 13 years in the major leagues, but all of that happened because he listened to someone that gave him unexpected advice. He didn't expect it to come from them, a taxi driver. You know, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart and Sam's Club, he's quoted saying this. He said, "You can learn from anybody." And that's true. Now, this morning, we're going to learn some things. And we're going to learn them not from a teacher, not from a theologian, not from kings or queens, not from university professors, not from Harvard guys or Oxford guys or the wealthy or the upper class in society. We're actually going to learn some things from shepherds. Shepherds. Imagine men that spent their lives feeding and protecting and nurturing sheep. You say, what can we learn from them? A bunch of farmers in the fields. I say this, a lot. May I remind us this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ is known as a good shepherd. So when a shepherd speaks, I want to listen. And we should do the same here. We can learn so many things here from these men in this story. And so this morning, I won't preach about that. I'm going to preach on this subject. You can learn a lot from a shepherd. Right. Now, again, on Sunday mornings, we've been traveling through the Gospel of Luke. And up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, Luke, under the inspiration of God, has recorded for us several different events. Look back with me at chapter 1, just glancing there from verses 5 to 25. Luke recorded for us the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, the priest, announcing to him that him and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby, and that baby would be called John. Luke recorded that for us. He also recorded in chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the appearance of the angel Gabriel again, but this time to Mary to announce to her that she would be the vessel that God would use to bring forth the Messiah into this world. Right. Luke recorded that as well. Then in verses 39 to 45, Luke records for us Mary's visit to Elizabeth. When they broke out with that praise to God, both of them did. Then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we see the record. I preached on Christmas Eve about this, the record of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened. The Savior of the world was born.
Praise the Lord.
And now God is going to announce Christ's birth to the world.
Amen.
And Luke records that for us.
Right.
And the people that God brings this message to are shepherds. Shepherds. That's interesting to me.
Amen.
What can we learn from this story? Well, lots of things. Let's consider, number one, we can learn about the men that God chooses.
Right.
Now, notice in verse 8 and 9, we read, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, my wife and I had the privilege of standing right there when we went to Israel, and some of you have been there as well, standing right there in that field where the shepherds were. And you could stand in that field and see the place where they saw where this happened, and you could look down a valley and up the next hill over to where Bethlehem was. You could see it there. And so a short distance from that city of Bethlehem was this field. And that's all it is. It's a field. And we are told here that there were shepherds in that field that night. They were watching over their flocks. And it was during the night. And imagine God sends his angel to these men. Why them? We're going to see that here in a minute. Let's consider some things about these men that God chose. First of all, notice their occupation. They were shepherds. They were simple men. All they did was take care of sheep. And being a shepherd, something we need to understand, at least in those days, was not an esteemed occupation, especially among the Jews. They didn't like shepherds. In fact, shepherds were despised by the Jews. They were considered unclean by the Jews, and they were considered ignorant by the Jews because they were unschooled in the Mosaic law. Matter of fact, according to the Talmud, the writings and traditions of the Jewish rabbis, shepherds were equated to the heathen. Shepherds were not allowed to be witnesses in court, and it was forbidden for anybody to give shepherds charity. Matter of fact, the attitude towards shepherds in this day amongst the Jews was similar to the attitude towards shepherds in Egypt in Joseph's day. You remember what was said in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 34. We read that every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. It's the same here. Imagine, these were despised men, really for no reason, but they were. But this was their occupation. That's what they did. Also consider their dedication. Now notice we read they were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So yes, they may have been despised by the Jews, but these were men of character. I mean, they were workers here. They were working here in the middle of the night. These men continually stayed with their sheep. They stayed at their posts. They stayed on the job day and night through thick and thin. They fed the sheep. They watered the sheep. They watched over the sheep. And they protected them. And that's what they were doing here. These were men of character. So we see their occupation and we see their dedication. Then I want to think about also their selection. So why did God pick them? I think that's a valid question. Right. Why did God choose when he said, okay, I'm going to announce this birth to the world in a spectacular, miraculous way, and I'm going to send an angel first and more later to do so. Who should we tell? Who should it be? He picked shepherds.
Amen.
Why is that? Why didn't God send that message from the angel to some palace somewhere? Maybe to Caesar Augustus that we read of in chapter 2 and verse 1. To tell him, the leader of the Roman Empire, announce to him, hey, the Savior of the world, he is born. Didn't choose him. Why not Cyrenius the governor, who's referred to in verse 2 of our text? Why not King Herod? Why not? How about this? How about the religious hierarchy in Israel? Wouldn't that have been a gotcha, if you would? Okay, you're looking for the Savior. Here he is. They could have went to the chief priests or the Pharisees or the scribes or the elders. Why not give them this divine message? Why lowly shepherds?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they would listen.
Amen.
It's really that simple. Because they would listen.
Amen.
You see, none of the other people that I just mentioned a few moments ago were of the right heart with God to receive the message from God. And God knew, God Almighty knew, that these shepherds would both receive the message and believe the message. That's why he sent it to them.
Hallelujah.
That's a good point, if you ask me.
Amen.
Here's why. Our God is still looking for people he can use. He still is. He's looking around. He wants to use us to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's looking for people that will serve him with their lives, that will make a difference in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. God is searching even today for willing vessels.
Amen.
Will he find any? Will he find any here? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is searching to and fro in this world. Imagine the eyes of God today, this morning, in this auditorium, looking around, going in and out of every chair, every aisle, every row, trying to find someone whose heart is right that'll say, yes, I'll serve you, Lord. Yes, I'll live for you. Yes, Lord, you can use me. He's still looking for people. And who he uses is not dependent upon things like their education. Right. You mean, well, preacher, it's not me. It's not about education. It's not about your social status. Right. It's not about your financial stability. Amen. It's not about your age. It's not about your race. It's not about your nationality. It's not about your background. It's not about your personality, popularity, or skills, or talent. None of that is the primary thing God's looking for. He's looking for someone whose heart is open to him, amen, willing to receive his message, believe his message, and submit to his message. Right. Will that be you? Good. Will that be me? Amen. You know, you look throughout the Bible, it's amazing the different kinds of people that God used.
Right.
It's just amazing. I mean, he called a 75-year-old man from a heathen land, the Ur of the Chaldees, to go leave his place, and that would become the nation of Israel. Imagine that.
Right.
He chose a 17-year-old boy named Joseph that would end up, of course, in Egypt and used him in a great way. He chose a former harlot by the name of Rahab. He chose a priest named Ezekiel. He chose a herdsman named Amos. He even chose a young Moabite lady named Ruth. I mean, God used people of all sorts of backgrounds. What was the one common thread amongst them all? It's very, very simple. Their heart. Their heart was open to God to receive his word, believe his word, and submit to his word. You know, we look over, if you want to glance there, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God makes this very, very clear. He says in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why? Verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in his presence."
Amen.
No matter what your background is, no matter how old you are, no matter what your personality is like, God can and will use you if you let him.
That's good.
If your heart is right with him and you'll simply receive his message, believe his message, and submit to his message. Boy, he can use all of us in a mighty way if you will do that. And I asked you this morning, are you willing to be used of God? Well, I want to be used of God, but there's some things in that book I just don't want to submit to. Well, forget about it then.
Amen.
Forget about it.
Right.
Amen. You won't be used of God. Because he's looking for someone that will submit and say, "God, whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I'll follow your word. Whether I understand it or not, I will submit. My heart is open to you. God will use you in a mighty way if you let him and you respond to him."
Praise
like that.
God.
You see, that's the men, and I speak generically, that God chooses. Those whose hearts are right with him. So notice number one, the men God chose. But then notice number two, the message God gave. So here he chooses, he decides to send the angel down, if we read in verse 10, and the angel, let's go back to verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." Notice it's singular. "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you," again, one angel speaking to these group of shepherds, "for unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, after that message was given, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, this is the third time that we find an angel or angels being involved in the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time was when Gabriel, of course, visited Mary. That's recorded for us. I mentioned it earlier in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The second time, not in the Gospel of Luke, was in Matthew when the angel of the Lord visited Joseph. And he said to him in verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.'" So that the first time was with Mary, angels involved. The second time here was with Joseph. And here's the third time in our text. Now notice this announcement begins with one angel. One angel appears to these shepherds and gives them the message. What is this message? Well, think about this. Think about the scope of the message. Look what he says in verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" Amen. So notice the angel tells the shepherds, he's kind of preempting what he's going to say. He tells them two things. He says, this message is good tidings of great joy.
Amen.
In other words, what I'm going to tell you is something good.
Right.
It is good news. Notice the angel did not come with news of God's judgment.
Right.
By the way, go to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of judgment there during the tribulation period where angels are going to deliver judgment to this world. Not so here.
Right.
Here the angel comes not with news of judgment, not with news of condemnation. He's not talking about pestilences and plagues, he's not talking about the end of the world or that God's going to pour out his wrath on this earth. No, he says, "I am bringing to you from God good tidings, good news."
Amen.
By the way, that phrase, "good bringing good tidings," is the Greek word where we get the English word to evangelize. Evangelion is kind of how you'd say it in the Greek. John 3:17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In other words, when Jesus came, the reason he came is to save us. And the gospel is not bad news. Sometimes you knock on someone's door. No. I don't want to hear that. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that stuff. They don't get it. We're giving them good news, not bad news.
Amen.
We're trying to show them how to get to heaven, how to be saved, how they can know that their sins are forgiven, and they have a home in heaven. That's what it is. We're giving good news to them.
Praise
the Lord, it's good news.
Amen.
And notice the message is to all people.
Right.
Again, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, this message he's going to tell them is not a limited message. It's not just for church-going people.
Good.
It's not just for religious people. It wasn't just to the Jews. It's not a message just to the Baptists or the Catholics or the Lutherans or the Episcopals or only, you know, good people and upright people. No, he says this message is good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, the message of the gospel is for everybody in this world. You maybe hear this, well, I don't need that. You do need that message.
Amen.
Because it's good news. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
Who can ask for better news than that?
Right.
God loves you and he loves me despite what we've done, despite where we've been. And again, the message of the gospel, the good news, is a whosoever message. It is for the whole world. It's for every human being of all time, from every culture. And this message will, can, and has brought great joy to anybody that believes it and receives it. It's a universal message. That's amazing. Amen. That's the scope of this message.
Right.
I think if I were the shepherd, he says, "Don't fear. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. It's going to be for all people." My ears would have perked up. I said, "Okay, let's hear it then. I like this one."
Right.
Notice what he says. Notice the substance of the message in verse 11. Here's the message: "For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
Amen.
You see, the message of the angel to the shepherds is simple. It really is. God has given to this world, and I'm speaking as the angels would be speaking. I'm not an angel. Ask my wife. But anyway, given to this world, this day in the city of Bethlehem, notice what God has given to this world, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That sentence has so much doctrine in it. We could spend months on it.
Right.
Notice he says, first of all, that this child that's born, he's the Savior.
Right.
What do saviors do? They save.
That's
what they do. It's real simple. You see, the child that came into the world, at this child, the angel is saying here, he is going to suffer. He is going to bleed. He is going to die for the sins of the world. Understand who this child is. This child is the promised Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's who this child is. This child is the one that Isaiah the prophet prophesied of in Isaiah 53:5, where we read, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." This child is set forth to die. Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'd like to argue with him about that one. The Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So notice the angel says to these shepherds, this a child that's born unto you is born this day in the city of David. That's Bethlehem, by the way. A Savior.
Praise the Lord.
But he doesn't stop there.
Right.
He also goes on to say, which is Christ. He said, "Well, what's the same thing? You save your Christ. What's the difference?" There's a difference.
Amen.
Why would he say all three of them? That word Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, the anointed one, and that's who he is. This child is not only going to die, he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the one chosen of God who will one day come to this earth and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sit upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem as that King of Kings. He's going to die, but he's not going to stay dead.
That's good.
He is the Christ,
right,
the one that's going to rule and reign.
Amen.
But he adds another word. He's the Lord.
Right.
In other words, he's God.
Amen.
That baby, that child that's born unto you is born this day. Yes, he's a Savior. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He is the anointed one. He's going to return one day and rule and reign. But also that baby is the Jehovah God of the Bible.
Praise
that baby is God in the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
Imagine that. Deity incarnate.
Amen.
And this Savior, this Christ the Lord, will save anybody.
Amen.
Who will place their faith and trust in him.
Praise
it's that simple. It's not went for years not understanding that.
Amen.
Too many years. I'd been to church. I had heard messages. If you would ask me, did Jesus die on the cross? I'd say, yeah. But if you'd ask me, how do you get to heaven? I'd say, well, be a good person. try to do the right thing. That's what the natural man thinks.
Right.
Until someone showed me the gospel, they showed me who Jesus Christ really is and what he did for me and had me recognize I was a sinner. I was lost in my sin. I was destined for hell because of my sin. But Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, Amen. Paid my sin debt for me, and all I have to do is simply receive him as my Savior, and all my sins are gone. Amen. They're washed away Amen. In the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. I remember that day when Pastor Bird asked me and my wife together, would you like to accept him as your Savior?
Right.
I honestly thought, well, who wouldn't?
Right. Amen.
I mean, the choice, go to hell and pay for my sins or get saved and go to heaven Amen. Through Jesus Christ, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Well, I was so excited about it. I went around telling all, my wife and I telling all our family. We thought, you gotta hear this. You got to hear this. I knew they didn't know it. I said, look, look, look. And I was surprised. Some of them thought, I'm okay. I'm just fine. Can I tell you this morning? No one's fine.
Right, right. Amen.
Nobody's fine.
Right.
We're all destined for hell. That's why we need Jesus Christ Amen. To be our Savior. That's why he came. That's why he did this. If getting to heaven was simply living a good life, why would Jesus Christ have to come? He wouldn't have had to come. God would have said, just live a good life and you'll get there on your own. You can't. That's why we need a Savior. And this child that was born this day in the city of David was that and is that Savior. He's coming again, Christ, and he is God. He's a God of the Bible.
Hallelujah.
And he'll save you today.
Praise the Lord.
If you simply ask him.
Amen.
You say, it can't be that easy. Yes, it can be. I went to the motor vehicle the other day to register a little vehicle that had just been given to me. And I was in and out of that thing in about 5 minutes. If you would have told me that before I went in there, I would have said, never, no way, no, no. And the place was empty. I thought, I must be going to the wrong line or the wrong place. But I found it was true. Salvation's easy.
Right.
Simple.
Amen.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That was the substance of the message. The scope was for everybody. The substance was Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And then notice the sign of the message. It's interesting. After he declares this, he says, and this sign shall be unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, how's that a sign? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Bethlehem and you're going to find this child in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's a sign. How's that a sign?
Amen.
I'll tell you why it's a sign. Because who would think that such a child,
right.
the Savior of the world,
right.
the Christ, the Messiah, the one who's going to one day rule and reign, and the one who is the very God of gods in the
right.
flesh, you'd think he'd be born in a palace.
Right.
You'd think there'd be all kinds of fanfare. You'd think there'd be all kinds of religious people worshiping. You'd think he'd be adorned in royal garments, perhaps a little crown on his head. But you'd think there'd be all kinds of pomp and circumstance when he was born. But not so. A babe born in an animal stable. A barn.
Right.
I know it wasn't exactly a barn, but the same type of thing. And wrapped in strips of cloths. Unexpected. If you don't know your Bible.
Right.
But if you know your Bible,
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You'd say, right. That's the fulfillment of prophecy.
Amen.
You say, how so? Isaiah 53 and verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The world would have said, that child, no way. God says, that's exactly as I planned it.
Amen.
exactly as I told you.
Amen.
He would be despised and rejected of man.
Amen.
That Savior, that Christ, the Lord, would have such a humble entrance into this world.
Amen.
That nobody would have expected it. And notice what happens in verse 12. Immediately after that, I kind of like this. They call the host of angels. And in verse 13, I'm sorry. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Imagine that. Immediately after that, one angel said to those shepherds what they were going to find. All of a sudden appearing everywhere. And I don't know, a lot of commentators have it different. Some have them on the ground, all over the hills there. There in that shepherd's field. Some have them hovering in the sky. You think what you think. I put them in the sky. I just was right. Anyway, wherever they are, here they are. Imagine sounding out glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a wonderful occurrence.
Amen.
The Savior of the world,
right,
is born. And then notice in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. As quickly as they appeared, they were gone. And here those shepherds were standing in the field. I would have probably said this, what just happened? What in the world just happened? Did you see what I saw? Did we, right? Could you poke me or something? I'll poke you.
Right.
Notice the last thing, the metamorphosis God produced. So we see the men that God chose. We see the message that God gave. Then notice the metamorphosis God produced. Notice these shepherds were forever changed. Look what happens. They say in verse 15, let us go now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. Notice there's no question to their statement. And see this thing, which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Amen.
Yes.
What happened to these men? I say it again, they were forever changed.
Right, amen.
What changed them? I think every person in this auditorium that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior,
praise the Lord,
had someone somewhere along the line after you got saved said something like this, what happened to you?
Right, amen.
Yeah.
We were just down visiting some of our relatives in New Jersey. It's like this, so it's kind of them anyway. And one of our relatives mentioned how another relative, boy, got real religious all of a sudden. Real religious. I remember my daughter had sent me a picture of a Facebook post, because what my daughter did, she took my salvation video and she sent it out to everybody, a bunch of people that she knew. And this particular man, supposedly, and I don't know, I have to verify all this, but came back and said that that was great, had so many positive things to say about it. It seems like the guy got saved.
Praise,
I don't know. But it seems there's things there. But everybody's saying, what happened to him? What happened to these guys? All of a sudden now, what do they do? They're leaving their place. They're going to Bethlehem. What happened? Two things happened. One, they believe God's word. You see, when a person truly believes God's word, it'll be shown in their life.
Right.
I'm not talking about a head nod. Yes, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm talking about we truly believe it, right?
Right.
Faith, our faith is seen by our works, James chapter 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we truly believe something, it's going to change us. We are going to conform to the word of God.
Right.
And so these men believed the word of God. And then secondly, they broadcast the word.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, when they saw it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And notice that and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Right.
That's what the message of the Messiah does.
Amen.
If you would have told me when I was in college or high school that I would be doing this, I would have said, you're crazy. If my wife knew this was the future before we got married, I wonder if she'd ever marry. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I hope. What in the world? But you have a story too.
Amen.
Why are you here this morning? Why are you knocking on doors? Why are you handing out tracts? Why are you teaching Sunday school? Why are you running the bus? Why is that? God did something in your life and in your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something we produce. It's something he produces. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It changes our perspective. It changes our purpose. It changes our attitude towards sin and our attitude towards God and our desire to see other people saved. What produces that? The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's what produces it.
Right.
We can learn a lot from these men.
Right. Amen.
The question is, are we really going to learn it?
Good.
We learn that God is looking for people
Amen.
Whose heart is open to him. We learn that these men received the message and believe the message, and it created a great change in them. And God wants to do the same thing in every person Amen. That's in this auditorium, and really every person in the entire world.
Amen.
If you'd simply receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior,
Amen.
He'll wash away your sins
Amen.
And take you to heaven when you die
Praise the Lord.
And give you the best possible life on this earth.
Good.
If we yield it to him.
Amen.
The question is, do you believe that? Well, I don't know. Let me ask the guy at the university, see what he thinks. Well, let's go to Oxford and Cambridge, where the great minds are, and see what the philosophers say. Let's see what they think life is about. No. Try it out. You're gonna find out.
Right.
They'll lead you in a ditch.
Amen.
Let's look at these shepherds
right.
and say, you know what? They got it right.
Amen.
And learn from them.
Praise the Lord.
Because you can learn a lot
Amen.
From a shepherd.